You need to be doing what you love. You need to find something that's going to light you up.
The Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show, interviewing Tasmanian entrepreneurs, startups and businesses doing big things right here in the small island state of Tasmania. Produced by Big Screen Small Screen and supported by Startup Tasmania. The Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show. The sky's the limit.
Hi, I'm Nigel Honey. Welcome along to episode 17 of the Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show. And today's guest is not our first who wanted to be a vet or a scientist whilst she was growing up. No. But her fascination with human behaviour and neuroscience led her on a career in organisational development, specialising in improving business outcomes by developing individuals, teams and organisations. After more than 20 years in corporate human resources and organisational development roles, a successful battle with cancer gave her the nudge to take her passion for transforming leaders and improving how individuals and organisations cope with change in a new direction. She left a senior corporate role in 2012 and established her consulting business, Shaping Change, to achieve these goals. Her inspirational business story was featured in the 2014 book, Australian Entrepreneur. As a keen writer, she has published her own book, The Resilient Employee, regularly posts on her own blog and contributes articles to Leaders in Heels, The Huffington Post and People Development Magazine. Welcome along to the show, Ros Cardinal.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Now, you've done a fair bit. Is there anything else that you can add to the story so far?
Well, that was a really good sum up, but I guess one of the things that I didn't say in the intro was the fact that I'm a bit of a diagnostics nerd.
Oh.
So accredited in, I think, about 14 different psychometrics and diagnostic tools. So I can kind of figure out what's going on inside people's heads and inside organisations as well. So that's actually something I'm quite passionate about, is learning as much as I can about what makes people tick.
So, Ros, we mentioned in the intro your battle with cancer. Was that what motivated you to take the leap into working for yourself? Tell us about that and how you got the confidence to leave the corporate world.
Look, it was a fairly devastating diagnosis, as you can imagine. It was breast cancer, and I was diagnosed actually on the anniversary of my mother's death from breast cancer 5 years previously. So one of those awful coincidences that happens in life.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. And there I was, you know, it sort of obviously brought back a lot of, you know, what happened to my mother.
Yeah.
And then being diagnosed with it myself was fairly traumatic. But what it did for me is I got, and I think most people do if they go through a life-threatening illness or something really significant like that, I got that enormous clarity that comes with this sense of there's so much in my life that I haven't done, that I really would like to do, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
And you realise that there's all these putting things off for someday and one day is, you know, you've got to live life in the moment. And so for me, it took me about 6 months to work my way through the cancer journey and onto recovery, probably a little bit longer. And once I was better, I, you know, really got focused on what do I want to do with my life, how do I want to make changes in my life so that I'm fulfilling my own potential going forward. And I had been in an organisational development role for about 8 years at Aurora Energy at that stage. And I was enjoying what I did, but I had this sense of how can I impact more people? How can I add value to more people in the world? And that was really where the idea of starting a business came from, was this idea that what I'm doing inside the business is great, but it's only for the 1,000-odd people that work here. It's how can I actually extend that reach? And that was really where it was born. And in terms of, I guess, getting the confidence to go ahead and do it, it took me 2 years from the time I was diagnosed with cancer to when I finally left and started the business. And in that 2 years, I did all the things that you would normally do around market research. You know, is there a market for what I'm offering? Who else is doing it? Where's it positioned? All of those sorts of things. So it was a very carefully thought out thing. I didn't kind of knee-jerk react to, you know, I need to go out and do something else. I'm going to quit my job tomorrow.
Yep.
It was a well thought out process. So it took me 2 years to actually get out there, but I'd known right from the finish of my cancer treatment that that's what I wanted to do.
That's great. So exactly what is it that you do?
Well, organisational development is about improving, it's improving organisations, and we look at organisations in a holistic sense. So we might work with the organisational strategy. We might look at values and vision and purpose in organisations. We look at culture. So is your strategy going to be deliverable because your people deliver strategy and your culture tells your people how to behave? And then we look at individual leader behaviour. There are things that leaders could be doing better or, you know, certainly enable them to reach their true potential. We look at teamwork. We look at how people behave. So it's really that whole encompassing thing of where's your organisation heading and have you got the right capability in your business to deliver that?
Okay. And how do you make money out of it?
Look, it's an interesting field. It's one of those things that there's quite a demand for. It's a little bit of an ebb and flow thing. Certainly employee engagement was the flavour of the moment about 5 or 10 years ago, and now people are moving much more into thinking about culture, which really is the driver of performance in businesses. So there's certainly plenty of work out there. I certainly don't struggle getting clients.
Okay. So tell us about a time that things started to go a little bit pear-shaped for you. How'd you work your way around that?
Look, since I've been in business, I haven't had anything go particularly pear-shaped.
You're lucky.
I am. Extremely lucky. And I think probably my biggest challenge back in the early days was really overcoming the fear of, you know, clients drying up.
Hmm.
It was that sense of my diary is completely full for the next 3 months, but then there's nothing in it after that. And what happens if this is the last job and nobody ever rings again? So that was certainly something to work through in terms of mindset. But I've learned how to trust the process. You know, the work comes.
Yep.
It's one of those things about working in Tasmania. It's very relationship driven, so it's all through referrals.
So that's where you get most of your work from. So people that you've worked for refer you to their friends.
Absolutely, and that's how it tends to work. So, you know, I guess I'm really lucky in the sense that I haven't had any real big business crisis to talk about.
Yeah,
right. Or I've had the odd cash flow issue, you know, where I've done a big job for a client, I've got to pay for things and money isn't coming in for 30 days, but I manage that through line of credit with the bank and things. So, again, I've thought it through. I've thought through what are the risks to my business and how do I mitigate those risks in advance.
Yep, excellent. And have you had any big wins in your business?
Look, I have. I've had, I guess, probably two big things that really stand out for me as being, you know, maybe my proudest moments. The first one was I was awarded Leadership Coach of the Year globally, Australian Leadership Coach of the Year, but it was Global Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate Livewire is the company, and it was their Innovation and Excellence Awards in 2016. I was nominated by a client, and I got all the awards pack, and I thought, wow, this is a global award, so, you know, my chances are fairly minuscule, but I put the application in, and I was absolutely thrilled to get the email to say that I'd won Leadership Coach of the Year Australia.
Yeah, well
which
done.
Is really significant. So that was, I suppose, one of my moments. And the other one was publishing my book.
Yes.
That was huge for me in terms of feeling like it's a big achievement.
Did you self-publish that or did you go through a publishing house? Or
I self-published. I did have a look at Balboa Press and looked at the pros and cons of self-publishing versus going with a publishing house. And I guess the key thing about a publishing house is the distribution that you get. So they will distribute your book. But nowadays they don't do any of the publicity and advertising they used to. So back in the day, they'd engage you to write a book, they'd pay you in advance, they'd set you up on a press tour.
Yeah.
You went around, you did book signings, they paid for everything, paid for your hotels. It just doesn't work like that anymore.
Oh, wow. So, you're still out on your own.
Still out on your own. The only advantage is that they'll send it out to bookshops. But if there's no publicity, the bookshops send it back because they can't sell it. So it's a bit pointless. So, and also the other thing is that if you want to buy copies of your own book, you have to pay wholesale price. So you're paying maybe $11 for your book.
Yeah.
Instead of if you're self-published, you're paying about $3.50 for your own book.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to sell them online on your own website, which is where your audience are, you're losing out so much revenue.
You are, yeah. And it also enables me, you know, at $3.50 a book, I can give it away if I want to. So it, you know, I mean, it's one of those sort of things that almost acts like a big business card.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've gotten involved with Huffington Post. How did you pull that one off?
Look, I have a very good virtual assistant who works in Florida, actually.
Hmm.
Her name's Lily, and that's one of the things that she does for me is she pitches my articles. So there's it's quite a complicated process to pitch to various publishing agents and, you know, magazines and things like that, and she does that for me. And she found the contact of Arianna Huffington directly.
Wow.
Because one of the challenges is that you email Huffington Post and they have a sort of standard rejection letter.
Yeah.
And she found Arianna Huffington's email address and actually pitched directly to her.
Nicely done.
And got a nice little thing back saying, congratulations, you're in.
That's excellent. Did you find any particular challenges with starting your business here in Tasmania?
Look, I think the main challenge I don't know how true it is for other businesses, but certainly in the consulting space, the challenge in Tasmania is that everything is relationship-based, and I mentioned that. It means that it's all about who knows who.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found is that you often don't even hear about jobs that are going because you're not in the loop of people who know people.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge starting out. I mean, I certainly knew a lot of people, but my reach certainly wasn't as strong as it is now because, you know, my name really wasn't out there.
Yeah, a lot of the time here, jobs are only advertised because they've got to be. They've already got the person they want for the job. Yep.
And it works like that in consulting too. You quite often get asked, like I always insist on going and sitting down with a client and having a coffee and finding out what they want before I write a proposal. And if you say, can we meet up for a coffee? And they go, no, just write a proposal.
Yep.
You know it's they've got to get their three proposals to get something through.
They're shopping.
And they already know who they want.
Yeah. And on the other side of the coin, what are some things that Tasmania's provided for you that you might not have found elsewhere that's helped you along the way?
It really is the flip side of the relationships.
Yeah.
It is. It works, you know, for you and against you. Certainly in the early days until I'd established myself, that worked against me. Now it works for me in that everybody knows everybody and a lot of people know me. And a lot of my referrals now are people that I've never met who ring me up and say, I was just talking to my counterpart at X government department and they recommended you and said I should give you a call. So on one hand, it's been certainly a downside when you first start out, but as you establish yourself, it becomes certainly a strength in Tasmania. And I don't believe it works that way in a lot of other places.
Do you go to any networking events or organisations like that?
I actually run my own networking event for leaders.
Okay.
And look, I do. I'd go to conferences and I go to various things. I'm also the Tasmanian President of Women Chiefs of Enterprises International.
Yep.
And so we network with that as well. So I'm involved in a couple of things, but I certainly don't rush around networking with everything. It's very strategic and very targeted.
Well, give us a plug for your networking event if you like.
Okay, it's actually called the Shaping Change Inner Circle.
Okay.
And it's for leaders who are, passionate about developing themselves and want to. It's for people who want to do good in the world. So we have a real focus on personal development as leaders. And we meet there's two sides to it. There's the face-to-face networking that we do and then there's online. So in the online space, I do a webinar every month. So webinar topic around something to do with leadership, with worksheets, action guides. And I also curate content from around the web that's related to it, so TED Talks, articles, etc. And then every second month we meet face-to-face for networking, and that might be just a networking chat or it might be a guest speaker. And then on the off months, so the in-between months, I run what we call Lunch and Learn, which is everyone brings their lunch. We meet in the Engineers Australia boardroom and we do an hour and a half of leadership development.
Nice.
So that's how that works. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and come back with some more questions. So you've got your business going, and now it's time to get your message out into the world. You know content marketing is the way forward. Videos, podcasting, images, and you know you've got to continually be putting messages out across all the social networks. Big Screen Small Screen Studio is ready and waiting to create content gold for you. All you have to do is show up and record your videos or podcasts and leave the hard work to us. That's right, we'll provide the lights, the cameras, the mics, and then edit, produce, and publish your content for you. And our subscription plans make it even more affordable to have quality content produced. For more information on what Big Screen Small Screen can do for you, see bigscreensmallscreen.com.au/TES. No matter what your industry or how long you've been operating, if you truly believe your big idea is going to disrupt an industry and you plan to rapidly scale, then Startup Tasmania is for you. Startup Tasmania promotes and supports startup and innovative businesses across Tasmania, provides co-working facilities, hosts inspiring events, and gives you the community you need. Take action today. Join Startup Tasmania and realise your dream. For more information, see TasmanianEntrepreneurShow.com/StartupTas. Joining us today on the Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show, Ros Cardinal of Shaping Change. Thanks for coming on the show today, Ros. Now, tell us, what's the best thing for you about being an entrepreneur?
For me, it's really about the fact that I'm shaping my own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And people have asked me this a few times, actually, because, it's that sort of thing. If you're on a really good wicket in a senior role, getting paid good money, good conditions, what made you choose to leave? But it really is about shaping my own destiny. It's that sense of achievement that you get from knowing that, the buck stops with you. The decisions that I make have a direct impact on whether or not my business is profitable or not. And, of course, there's the flexibility and the challenge. I get to choose who I work with. I'm fortunate enough that my business is well established and I can choose not to work with people if I don't want to. So that gives me that flexibility. And it's the challenge of always having something different to do. I might be you know, in the course of a couple of days, I might be doing a strategic planning workshop with a big government department. I might be doing a speaking gig at the university, for example, and I might be coaching a leader who's really struggling with their team. So there's a lot of variety and different challenges in what I do.
Yeah, it's a lot better than a normal job where you go and you sit in your cubicle and you do the same thing every day and you just go slowly insane and you get to the point where you think, you know, is what I'm doing actually contributing anything to the world? You know, whose lives am I enriching by doing this job over and over and over again? And it's kind of a bit depressing. And you get to the point where you're not learning anything. You might as well be a robot or a computer. But when you go out and work for yourself, you've got to learn. You've got to be the accountant. Yeah. You've got to be the graphic designer. You've got to be the advertising person. You've got to be everything. And that's, for me, that's what I love, the fact that I'm doing all of these things for my own business. Some things may be better than others, but at least I'm learning as I'm going and getting better at everything.
Absolutely. And what you said about, you know, the cubicle farm idea, that's the world of work that I want to change. It's impacting the world one step at a time, one leader at a time, one organisation at a time, to change the world of work so people don't feel like that.
Yeah. And as the world changes and business changes, as an employee, you go from, you know, being part of the family, the boss knows your name, to you're just a number. You're a liability on their balance sheet. They don't care.
That's why you're called a human resource. And look, it's really interesting because that's part of what is the work that I do is around things like exactly that. Because what happens to us as human beings, it's only been about 250 years we've started leaving our families and going to work in an office somewhere. Prior to that, we used to work in our own family shops or we used to work on our family farm. So we were always with our family.
Yeah.
And we leave that and we go to this place called work now. And we're longing for that sense of being like family. And that's what people, when people tell me about what's happened in their organisation that's disengaged them, that's generally what comes up. We used to feel like a family, we don't anymore. Those are the words people use. And it's really powerful in thinking about that's what people want to be happy at work. They want to feel connected. They want to feel valued. They want to feel like a family. And they want to feel like they're contributing to something that's adding value in the world. And look, it gets back to our, you know, our tribal instincts as humans. Back in our tribal days, we lived together in family groups, which were around about 7 people, plus or minus 2. We lived in tribes of around about 80 to 120 people. When you get over 120 people, it's to do with the size of our brain and how many people we can feel connected with and know.
Yeah.
When we get over 120 people, we just can't know everybody.
No.
And then we start to feel disconnected and we feel like we're not a tribe anymore. So it comes back to, and there's a lot of organisations, Flight Centre do this really well. They have Flight Centre groups. In a Flight Centre, there's never more than 7 people.
Oh, really?
And then if they get more business, they open another Flight Centre. So in places like London, you can walk down the street and they're like McDonald's. There's a Flight Centre everywhere. Every street corner has a Flight Centre. And that's because they've built it around that family-sized group of 7 people.
That's fascinating.
It is.
That's fascinating. Do you know John Lee Dumas?
Yes, I do.
So EO Fire?
Yes.
As he finishes every podcast, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Absolutely true.
Tell us, what are 3 things that you use on a day-to-day basis, 3 resources that you can recommend to our listeners?
Wow. Look, I can't go past the work of Brené Brown every time in terms of working with people around developing compassionate leadership and developing that humanity around people. Brené Brown's work is amazing. Mm-hmm. Her books, her podcasts, I go back to them all the time in terms of what I do with leaders.
Yep.
Again, anything by Simon Sinek, the guy who's the Start With Why person.
Yep.
He's got great podcasts, some great books come out. I refer to those a lot. And there's a book I'm reading right at the moment, which I'm in love with. It's called Emotional Agility by Dr. Susan David. And I trained it with her. She's from Harvard University and I trained in emotional intelligence with her.
Okay.
So when her book came out, of course, I jumped on it. She sent a little special thing saying all my friends can have the book first. And it's a wonderful read. So for me, look, I'm a bit of a book person. I do have podcasts that I listen to while I'm traveling and things, but I'm more of a book person.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, we'll link those up in the show notes. Roz, what's one thing that I should have asked you about during the show but I haven't?
Oh, I guess one of the questions that I do get asked a lot is what are the people challenges that are common to organisations in Tasmania?
Yep.
And I do quite a bit of culture work, as I might have mentioned, and one of the things that really seems to come out, it's an Australian thing, not necessarily a Tasmanian thing, but it's quite strong in Tasmania particularly, is this sense of people feeling very passive in their workspace. Is that sense of not feeling, because they don't feel valued and they don't feel like they're adding value to the world, people become very passive, they become quite avoidant, they don't want to make decisions. And workplaces tend to have what we call a very passive defensive culture in Tasmania, which is this sense of you know, don't rock the boat, keep your head down, only do your job well enough to keep it, mm-hmm. please the boss even if they're asking you to do something you disagree with, all of those sorts of things. And so we're building up a culture. There certainly seems to be a culture existing in Tasmania when you look at people,
yeah.
around people feeling that their voices aren't heard. And in the culture survey work I'm doing with a number of my clients, those are the sorts of issues that are coming out. So it is a Tasmanian thing. So when we think about people challenges and people issues, it's how do we move people into a space where they feel like they're valued, they're significant in the world, their jobs are adding value, they understand why for their organisation, why the organisation exists and how they can contribute to that. So we've got a bit of work to do, but really that's the most significant people challenge I see in Tassie.
Okay. Now, Roz, if people want to get hold of you, if they want to maybe employ you for some mm-hmm. consulting or whatever, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, my mobile number is 0417 572 770.
That's very old school. You know, people don't ring people these days.
I know. And I do have a website, so they can get in contact with me through the website, or my email is roz@shapingchange.com.au.
Excellent. We'll put those in the show notes as well. Now, Roz, one piece of advice before we wrap the show up that our listeners are going to love.
Look, I think for me, going back to my cancer journey, really the stark thing that stood out for me was that you need to be doing what you love. You need to find something that's going to light you up. There's a big piece of research that's been done where nurses, you know, who palliative care nurses have been talking to people who are dying about what they regret and what they wanted most out of life and things like that. And nobody has ever said, I wish I'd spent more time at work.
Hmm.
People want to be adding value. They want to be doing something important in the world. And really that's what it's about is you never know when it's going to stop. For me, the cancer yeah. diagnosis was that big wake-up call. I'd had a lot of things in my life that I was thinking, one day I will do this. And we've got to stop doing the one day I'm going to do something and start doing it now.
Yeah, so really, regret is the biggest regret, isn't
it? It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, Roz, thanks for joining us on the show. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
It takes a certain kind of person to be an accountant. And if you're listening to this show, well, that probably means you're not one of them. Instead, you're a busy entrepreneur with big ideas and a full schedule. You don't have time to be pushing numbers around on paper. You want an accounting system that is beautiful to look at, easy to use, and can scale with you as your business grows, from freelancer to 100 on the payroll. You need Xero. For more information on Xero and a free 30-day trial, see TasmanianEntrepreneurShow.com/Xero. That's X-E-R-O.
For full show notes and links to everything we have talked about today, visit TasmanianEntrepreneurShow.com. Like the Facebook page at /TasmanianEntrepreneurShow and follow us on Twitter at TazEntrepreneur. The Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show is produced in Hobart, Tasmania by Big Screen Small Screen, your partner in content creation, online video, podcasting, social media, brand development and TV and radio, online or on air. BigScreenSmallScreen.com.au and supported by Startup Tasmania, promoting and supporting startup businesses across the state to build a strong future through invention and innovation. StartupTasmania.com. The Tasmanian Entrepreneur Show. The sky's the limit.
Now, if you'd like to join us on the show, simply head over to TasmanianEntrepreneurShow.com/contact and send me a message. Now, I'd also love it if you could rate and review the show. It doesn't matter where you listen to it, iTunes, Stitcher, or Pocket Casts, head over and give us a good rating and a good review. 5 stars would be nice. It would really mean the world to me and help other people find the show. Thanks.